Beloved, the anthem Natalia displayed, "Lord, I stretch my hand to you," is written and arranged by a prolific anthem writer. His name is Jay Althaus. But if the truth is told, Mr. Althaus received his inspiration from a 300-year-old plus hymn written in the mid-1700s by Charles Wesley. Mr. Wesley's hymn was not entitled, "Lord, I stretch my hand to you." It was, "Father, I stretch my hand to thee." And the words to that hymn, "Father, I stretch my hand to thee, no other help I know. If thou withdraw thy help from me, whither shall I go?" That hymn had an impact on my childhood, the likes of which I'm not sure I can yet describe. You see, in the church where I came of age, the opening of worship was not a prelude. The opening of worship was praise and testimony time. And the deacons would rise and they would sing songs in guttural and raw ways that ushered in a space for people to let tears fall and hands rise up, and they sang that song. But they didn't sing it in the way you just heard it. It sounded much more like a lament. "Father, I stretch my hand to thee, no other help I know. If thou..." I was a child. I didn't like that sound. I could see as they sang from the pits of their souls that my mother, whom I sat next to, and my aunt, who was in the choir stand, I could see their faces just contorted. Whatever weight they carried from the week would come out, sometimes in tears, sometimes in moan. In fact, as the deacon sang, it sounded less like music and more like a wail. It sounded less like an anthem and more like a moan. And to my childhood ears, I didn't like it. It didn't reflect the joy that I grew up with and in my life. But I didn't understand. I didn't understand that we began worship that way. We began with a lament so that the weight of the week could come up, that the weight of the week could come out, and that we would experience in worship this turn from lament where we started to joy where we would end. I didn't understand. I just knew I didn't like that sound. I just knew I didn't like that lament. But now, 63 years into my life, I understand that if I avoid lament, what I avoid is the place in my heart that cannot express what's going on by words. What I avoid is that full expression of my grief and my pain. And if I avoid it, then I can't deal with it. If I avoid it, then I can't overcome it. What I now understand about lament is it is necessary. And it is necessary as our first step. Beloved, when I ignore lament, I'm ignoring that pain. And do you know that pain comes to us as a gift? Because without pain, we will not stop and pay attention to that in our body which requires attention. Without physical pain, we miss what requires redress, what requires us to hold before the light of medical science. Without lament, without that kind of pain, I miss in my being what needs attention, what needs redress, what I need to hold in the light of a loving Savior. Now we must lament. Now in the time of this virus, it is important that we lament because it is our first step. And I emailed this congregation and I asked you, what things are you lamenting? And with a speed that took my breath away, you told me you lament the loss of smiles because as masks cover our faces, we cannot share that simplest thing, that smile. You told me you lamented the weight and the fatigue and the requirement of frontline people to be ever out there taking care of us. You lamented the loss of life and the ability for those who are losing their loved ones to be near the bedside. One of you talked about the loss of a spouse and you held his cheek next to yours. And that moment as God released his spirit has been comfort to you ever since. And you lamented that others do not know that. You lamented the loss of hope and the clarity about our future. You lamented one among us in particular, what she cannot change. You lamented that you cannot go back and make history new and different. There's one who lamented time and how it's being used or not used. And one who lamented that our nation, even in the midst of this crisis, is divided politically. You lamented the disparities that this virus uncovered, and you lamented the little things in life. One of you said, I lament that I am not superhuman, that those I love are not superhuman, and that there is a threat, an unknown, pervasive threat. It's unveiling things around us, and we really don't know what to do. Lament is hard to hold. But now what I know is that it is our first step and that we must lament. I want to give you permission to lament because it is the space that opens up that there is something not right and something we need to shift. That lament, those tears, cause us to pay attention. So beloved, do not hide from your lament. Do not walk away from it. Let it come fully to the surface. For the God who loves you knows what lament is like. That's what that prayer was in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's what that prayer was from the cross. My God, that one who loves you and whom you call Savior is familiar with lament and is not afraid of yours, is not afraid to hear the sound of your tears falling on your breast, is not afraid to see the pain. For the one who loves you, the one we call Jesus, knows the moment you open up and let that lament be seen, it's the first step toward what is to come. So how do we behave in the midst of this lament? Because the God who loves us does not desire us to stay in the lament. How do we live and how do we behave in the midst of that lament? And I am so glad you asked. Because our brothers and our sisters in 2 Chronicles show us exactly what to do in the midst of lament. You see, when we meet them, when Carol began to read of their gathering in the temple, as she began to read of their calling out to God about their enemies from Amnon and beyond coming to invade them, they were in full out, full-fledged, full-voice lament. They sounded like the deacons in my church. They were crying, Father, I stretch. But please notice in just those few verses from 2 Chronicles, that the lament is just the beginning. That what they do in that lament is first they come into the presence of God. Did you see in the text it said that they came before God in God's temple? They came before God. They came purposefully and fully into the presence of God. Yes, beloved, we are always in the presence of God. But when we come and announce, God, we are here. God, we are here on purpose because we need you. God bends even lower. They came into the presence of God. They stood in the temple. They brought their pain. They didn't hide it. They weren't ashamed of it. They weren't afraid of it. Beloved, in the middle of your lament, bring your whole self before the God who loves you, who welcomes you, who wants to hear your heart's truth, who knows it anyway and longs for us to trust him enough that we would speak the truth of our pain
The first thing our brothers and sisters did in 2 Chronicles is they came. They brought their full selves into the presence of God, and then they poured out their lament tinged with remembrance. Did you see what happened in that text? That Jehoshaphat, their king, as he was praying, reminded God of all of the things God had done for them in the past. Jehoshaphat reminded them that God had kept their enemies before from annihilating them. He reminded God that God had been their present help. Beloved, as you pour out your lament, as you pour out what is binding your heart now, that is good. But another step to take in the midst of pouring out that lament, like our brothers and sisters in Israel, is to remember the things that God has already done. Because as difficult as this is, as hard as it is to walk through this virus, beloved, this is not the first time you've been in a situation where you did not know what was going to happen next. This is not the first time your heart has been broken. This is not the first time you've stood at a graveside and wondered if you're going to have another day of life. It's not the first time you've been met with a problem and wondered if you could get through. It's not the first time anxiety has written up and seemed like it was going to take your life, but it didn't. It didn't. You are still here. Every adversity that is behind you is behind you. Everything that tried to take you down failed, for you are still here. So when you come before the God who longs to hear your lament, as you pour out that lament, then just like Israel, also remember the things that God has done to bring you forth, to bring you to this point. That's what Israel teaches us, to come before God, to pour out our lament, and to bring forth our remembrances of how God has delivered us in the past. And the third thing that Israel teaches us in that moment, in that story from 2 Chronicles, is to have faith. Did you hear the last line that Carol read? They look toward heaven after they've come in the presence of God, after they've poured out their lament and brought forth their remembrances. Did you hear what they said? God, we don't know what to do, but our eye is on you. Beloved of God, we do not know what to do, but this is just a mini grammar lesson. Whenever you read something and the word but is inserted, it is a conjunction. And some of us remember conjunction, junction, what's your function? Conjunctions, look up phrases and letters and words. But is a particular kind of conjunction. When you see the word but, what it does is it lessens what came before it and elevate what comes after it. It sort of negate what comes before it and affirms what comes after it. Did you hear what Israel said? Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Beloved, what Israel teaches us is as we come into this time of lament, we must still have faith, but that lessens COVID, but that shifts our lament, but it takes our anxiety down a notch, but our eyes are on you. The author and the finisher of our faith, our eyes are on you, the Alpha and the Omega. Our eyes are on you, the bright and morning star. Our eyes are on you, the sweet living water. Our eyes are on you, our Redeemer, our Savior and friend. Our eyes are on you. And more than our eyes being on you, we have faith, because the writer of 1 John says when we pray in the midst of God's will, he will hear us. We have faith because our eyes are on you and we know that you hear us. So beloved, be not afraid of lament. Know that it's the first step that we take as we move through lament to what God has in store. Be not afraid of lament, because it becomes the door that opens us up to beginning to shift and move. Be not afraid, for as we come into God's presence, as we pour out our spirits, as we pour out our laments and remember God's past and stand on the foundation of faith, God hears us. And I am told in God's sacred word that he will not leave us or forsake us. I am told in God's sacred word that he's as close as breath in our body. I am told that he loves us with an everlasting love. I am told that we are the apple of his eye. And so I can lament and I can make one step forward. I can lament and I can trust that this is not where I will always be. We can lament and we can make it the beginning of a new trajectory. So come, beloved, bring the fullness of your lament. Do not be afraid. Let it pour out, and then in boldness through those tears say, I will trust in the Lord with all my heart. I will not lean to my own understanding. I will acknowledge him, and in every way I know he will direct my path. We've never been here before. I pray, God, we are never here again. But it does not matter where we are, for the God we love and serve is an omniscient, omnipresent, and forever in love with you and with me. Let that love fill you. Let that love hold you. Let that love keep you. For beloved, there is a wideness in God's mercy. There is a kindness in God's justice. There is a welcome for you and me. Our closing hymn is, there is a wideness in God's mercy. May you and I know that in the midst of this lament, we are still held strong by the loving arms of a God who will not fail. Come. Bring your lament and know that God sees those tears, counts those tears, and transforms them into all God has in store for all creation next. Come on, let's see what God has for you and for me. Amen.